Recollection of this rocking is refreshed. With some boys, the hysterical attack consists simply in the reproduction of such tricks, which they accomplish with great skill. Not infrequently, sexual sensations are excited by these movement games, harmless as they are in themselves. To express the idea by a word which is current among us, and which covers all of these matters, it is the wild playing, Hetzen, of childhood, which dreams about flying, falling, vertigo, and the like repeat, and the voluptuous feelings of which have now been turned into fear. But as every mother knows, the wild playing of children has often enough culminated in quarrelling and tears. I therefore have good reason for rejecting the explanation that the condition of our dermal sensations during sleep, the sensations caused by the movements of the lungs and the like, give rise to dreams of flying and falling. I see that these very sensations have been reproduced from the memory with which the dream is concerned, that they are, therefore, a part of the dream content, and not of the dream sources. This material, similar in its character and origin, consisting of sensations of motion, is now used for the representation of the most manifold dream thoughts. Dreams of flying, for the most part characterized by delight, require the most widely different interpretations, altogether special interpretations in the case of some persons, and even interpretations of a typical nature in that of others. One of my patients was in the habit of dreaming very often that she was suspended above the street at a certain height without touching the ground. She had grown only to a very small stature, and shunned every kind of contamination which accompanies intercourse with human beings. Her dream of suspension fulfilled both of her wishes, by raising her feet from the ground, and by allowing her head to tower in the upper regions. In the case of other female dreamers, the dream of flying had the significance of a longing. If I were a little bird, others thus become angels at night because they have missed being called that by day. The intimate connection between flying and the idea of a bird makes it comprehensible that the dream of flying in the case of men usually has a significance of coarse sensuality. We shall also not be surprised to hear that this or that dreamer is always very proud of his ability to fly. Dr. Paul Federn, Vienna, has propounded the fascinating theory that a great many flying dreams are erection dreams, since the remarkable phenomena of erection which so constantly occupy the human fantasy must strongly impress upon it a notion of the suspension of gravity, cf. The winged phalli of the ancients. Dreams of falling are most frequently characterized by fear. Their interpretation, when they occur in women, is subject to no difficulty, because women always accept the symbolic sense of falling, which is a circumlocution for the indulgence of an erotic temptation. We have not yet exhausted the infantile sources of the dream of falling. Nearly all children have fallen occasionally, and then been picked up and fondled. If they fell out of bed at night, they were picked up by their nurse, and taken into her bed. People who dream often of swimming, of cleaving the waves with great enjoyment, etc., have usually been persons who wetted their beds, and they now repeat in the dream a pleasure which they have long since learned to forgo. We shall soon learn from one example or another to what representation the dreams of swimming easily lend themselves. The interpretation of dreams about fire justifies a prohibition of the nursery which forbids children to burn matches in order that they may not wet the bed at night. They too are based on the reminiscence of enuresis nocturnus of childhood. In the Bruchstück einer Hysteria Analyse, 1905, I have given a complete analysis and synthesis of such a fire dream in connection with the infantile history of the dreamer, and have shown to the representation of what emotions this infantile material has been utilized in maturer years. It would be possible to cite a considerable number of other typical dreams if these are understood to refer to the frequent recurrence of the same manifest dream content in the case of different dreamers, as, for example, dreams of passing through narrow alleys, of walking through a whole suite of rooms, dreams of the nocturnal burglar against whom nervous people direct precautionary measures before going to sleep, dreams of being chased by wild animals, bulls, horses, or of being threatened with knives, daggers, and lances. The last two are characteristic as the manifest dream content of persons suffering from anxiety, etc. An investigation dealing especially with this material would be well worthwhile. In lieu of this, I have two remarks to offer, which, however, do not apply exclusively to typical dreams. 1. The more one is occupied with the solution of dreams, the more willing one must become to acknowledge that the majority of the dreams of adults treat of sexual material and give expression to erotic wishes. Only one who really analyzes dreams, that is to say, who pushes forward from their manifest content to the latent dream thoughts, can form an opinion on this subject, never the person who is satisfied with registering the manifest content, as, for example, Necker in his works on sexual dreams. Let us recognize at once that this fact is not to be wondered at, but that it is in complete harmony with the fundamental assumptions of dream explanation. No other impulse has had to undergo so much suppression from the time of childhood as the sex impulse in its numerous components. From no other impulse have survived so many and such intense unconscious wishes, which now act in the sleeping state in such a manner as to produce dreams. In dream interpretation, this significance of sexual complexes must never be forgotten, nor must they, of course, be exaggerated to the point of being considered exclusive. Of many dreams it can be ascertained by a careful interpretation that they are even to be taken bisexually, inasmuch as they result in an irrefutable secondary interpretation in which they realize homosexual feelings, that is, feelings that are common to the normal sexual activity of the dreaming person. But that all dreams are to be interpreted bisexually, as maintained by W. Stekel and Alf Adler, seems to me to be a generalization as indemonstrable as it is improbable, which I should not like to support. Above all, I should not know how to dispose of the apparent fact that there are many dreams satisfying other than, in the widest sense, erotic needs, as dreams of hunger, thirst, convenience, etc. Likewise, the similar assertions that behind every dream one finds the death sentence, Stekel, and that every dream shows a continuation from the feminine to the masculine line, Adler, seems to me to proceed far beyond what is admissible in the interpretation of dreams. We have already asserted elsewhere that dreams which are conspicuously innocent invariably embody coarse erotic wishes, and we might confirm this by means of numerous fresh examples. But many dreams which appear indifferent and which would never be suspected of any particular significance can be traced back, after analysis, to unmistakably sexual wish feelings, which are often of an unexpected nature. For example, who would suspect a sexual wish in the following dream until the interpretation had been worked out? The dreamer relates, "Between two stately palaces stands a little house, receding somewhat, whose doors are closed. My wife leads me a little way along the street up to the little house, and pushes in the door, and then I slip quickly and easily into the interior of a courtyard that slants obliquely upwards." Anyone who has had experience in the translating of dreams will, of course, immediately perceive that penetrating into narrow spaces and opening locked doors belong to the commonest sexual symbolism, and will easily find in this dream a representation of attempted coition from behind, between the two stately buttocks of the female body. The narrow, slanting passage is, of course,